This week's episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by the good folks supporting us over on patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
Let's do the show, folks!
Come, come, come!
And who might you be?
It's the Star Wars Report!
Star Wars Report!
Woo! Star Wars Report! The place for Star Wars news, features, interviews, and more.
Then we can do something epic!
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate.
The Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Wait, am I doing the intro? I haven't done the intro in forever.
It's all you, buddy.
Yes!
Do you remember how?
No. And that's the intro to this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. It's episode 338, brought to you by the fine folks supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. If you want to catch some awesome bonus content, head right over there and join the Patreon community. Without further ado, let's do a show. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. And so glad you've joined us on this fine morning, afternoon, or evening. Please delete as appropriate. Man, it's been a hot ham sandwich of a second since I've actually introed or hosted the show. Because Bruce Gibson, our fine producer and host, is out this week. So it's like old times. Glad to have you here on the program this week. Let's bring him in. He's actually, speaking of producers, he's producing this week's episode. And he's an awesome podcaster in his own right. It's the one and only Michael Morris. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, buddy.
I feel like I did better than I was a little nervous there.
It was really good. The only thing, you did too much.
Too much? A little too much?
Yeah, because
turn it down a little bit?
No. Just the whole Patreon thing. That's all pre-recorded now.
That's true.
It's cool.
It's a little redundant. I get what you're saying. A little redundant. Yeah. No, totally. I got
but
you.
But it's cool.
It's cool. Well, I'm working. We'll workshop it. All right. Okay. Hey, Mark Earlman's here, too. What's up, Mark?
Right now, Bruce has your promise. Now, not a scratch.
Not a scratch.
Not a scratch.
Not a scratch.
I know you owned this ship once before, but he's got rights to the deed. it's always good to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. And Michael, you know what? We have a special guest this week. I'm gonna let you do the honors for this introduction.
I'm sorry, Paul. That means that he forgot your name.
Paul Herman.
Yes. I wasn't sure where to go. Can I be honest? I was nervous and I was like, I punted because I was like, do I do Paul Herman or do I do like P-Thug on like the Twitter or do I do?
I go by both.
Okay. I wasn't sure. So I punted, but I thought like, in the world of professional podcasting that Mike was just going to roll with it. He's like, nope.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is I knew what you were doing, but you always know who I'm, I'm always going to be Lucy pulling that ball out.
I was just going to say.
It's true.
I know my nature, Riley.
That's great. That reference immediately jumped to my mind too. Was totally
Paul, yes. Welcome to the show. And I apologize in advance. Actually, I apologize right now. We're not even in advance.
No, you're fine. Riley, we're cool, bro. We good. We're homies. We're cool.
Okay, all right. I appreciate it. Well, I guess there's been a bit happening in the world of Star Wars, so let's jump into the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
So here it is. Kerry Russell. The rumor has struck. Casting rumors. Here's the thing. It's sort of like when the dog days of summer are coming upon us, and that we just had the 4th of July, and especially here in the great state of Texas, it's just getting 100 degree weather. It's just that heat settles in and summer's here. Well, we have that just with casting rumors. When the actual real like Variety Hollywood Reporter casting rumors come in, then we feel the hot and heavy presence of an upcoming Star Wars film. It kind of works. So, it's a stretch of a metaphor, but it kind
of
works.
I was going off of one of those kismet things, I was sitting down and my wife's watching like Bear out in the wild, and and it's got Carrie Russell. And then I'm looking through my Twitter thing, and it's like Carrie Russell's in episode 7. Like, this is meant to be. We're watching her with Bear Grylls right now. Like,
yeah,
this is fate coalescing and telling me this is about to be real. I could trust this, even though StarWars.com hasn't told me anything yet.
That pseudo trust. It's like it's made the top tier of entertainment journalism, but it hasn't been officially confirmed, obviously. But Carrie Russell, of course, yes, known for her role in Felicity. I'm not familiar with her. I've never seen Felicity, but it makes sense because, of course, she's
timeless. She is like the Michelle Pfeiffer of her age.
That's actually true. Really?
Yeah, we were watching that Bear Grylls thing, and it's like, man, she looks just the same as she did back in Felicity.
Right.
She's done some Mission Impossible work. I mean, she's been on a lot of things that you probably wouldn't recognize her in.
Which a lot seems to be like, because J.J. Abrams was Felicity, right? And Mission Impossible? Yes. So it kind of.
He created Felicity. Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, and it's. So it makes sense if she's worked with him in the past a lot. So
I'm just waiting for Jennifer Garner to show up now because he created Alias, right?
That's true.
I went to school with was an Alias.
Yeah. No, I don't want your newsletter update. Jeez. So.
You take your newsletter and you shove it in the dark side of place.
It's like, no. And it's one of those things where they make the X really hard to find. But no. This is from Variety, which is a pretty good track record when it comes to casting rumor. The role she's been cast in is, quote, calls for... action-heavy fight scenes. Russell has shown her ability to perform stunts in shows like FX's The Americans. I've heard The Americans is really good. I haven't watched it. It's kind of on my list, though. Mission Impossible and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I have seen that. Okay, so I have seen her in something. Okay.
Yeah, she had a small role. She wasn't, like, super great, in my opinion.
Throwing some shade.
Don't worry about it, Paul. I've got my own shade here in a minute. So.
Oh, I know. Okay. I'm just waiting. I'm glad to be on a podcast where Michael can be the bad guy. That's usually me. That's been me these days. Abrams likely casts two more actors by the time the film begins production, which is at the end of the month. Wait, that's bigger news to me. Is that something that's been around that I just haven't picked up, that they're about to start production?
I'd say end of the summer. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I guess,
so what were they doing beforehand? Because I was under the impression they had already started.
I mean, I knew they were in pre-production. I just didn't realize it hadn't gone in front of cameras yet.
Did they need actors for that?
Just CGI it.
George Lucas. Maybe
they are already shooting stuff, like CGI. Small stuff. Like
I really
stage stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I really kind of get the sense that a lot of this stuff, like I remember with the Hobbit movies when they were in production, which is something I followed very closely.
That's a hot take right here already. It's like
when the Hobbit movies were in production, very timely too.
We're
like,
Hobbits, cut. We got the Hobbits here.
Like, but no, like the production schedule was so all over the place, and it seems like the bigger the budget these films are, the more that they will be like just shooting stuff just to see if it works, even in the pre-production phase. Like the idea of the phases of production being like clean breaks seems to be less and less so, at least certainly with Star Wars. I don't know.
Well, the reshoots, you have to, you know, save everything just in case, right? So, yeah. I mean, they could, I mean, who knows? I always thought it was happening towards the end of summer. That's what I was under the impression for, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
How long before we get another director, though? Just wondering.
It depends.
They're like, JJ's not safe enough. We got to back out.
It depends on.
We're in trouble.
How hungry? Never mind. I was about to make a joke.
Michael, he is throwing shade today, man.
So
now they really think she's gonna play Ray's mom, though?
Oh, jeez,
that's been thrown around a lot. But
Hang on. Michael, did you just do the people are saying argument? People are saying that she's Ray's mom. A lot of people are saying.
It's been
thrown out there. It's
so yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's because they're tagged in. I threw in a little article about it where people or you know where someone had published. I can't remember who.
This
it
is
was.
Hollywood Reporter. Yeah, which yeah, suddenly yeah, I yeah. just so I
they're
stopped.
Also fairly reputable, but you know, so that was mentioned, but a lot of it just comes off of, you know, the little Twitter sphere of everyone being like, is she Ray's
the
mom?
What?
because, of course, huh?
The what now? The who?
Twitter's. I know,
never heard
I know,
of it.
You know, this never. Means nothing to you, but it's okay, flat. Right, here's this place, right? Where
it's,
people
it's
go
not around Twitter sphere. It's
to
a
yell
flat
at
one.
Each other, and mm. that's called Twitter.
Must sounds like a good time. Anyway, the Hollywood Reporter, J.J. Abrams should pull back the curtain on the mysterious. Is this an opinion piece or is it like a rumor piece?
Yeah, it's an opinion. It's an opinion piece.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no. Well, to quote another movie, that's your opinion, man.
That's like your opinion, man.
Well, that's like.
So here's, because that's my thought on it too, because like Mark mentioned earlier, is that Carrie Russell hasn't aged. You know, she looks the same as she did back when she was on Felicity. So just I don't buy her as being Ray's mom if that was a place they were going to go.
I mean, I'm looking at this picture and I could see it.
That's it. She's an older sister, Judy. She remembers Ray got left behind, and she's got to convince Ray, you got to come back with us in the First Order because mom and dad were working for Hux. Come on.
Why Judy? What is this a reference I'm not getting?
Name he come up with.
Because when she gets mad, she calls her Judith.
What? So moving on.
Anyway, so Ray's mother.
Roll with it, Riley. Roll with it.
Listen, it rolled over me is what it did. I didn't roll with it. No. Well, I mean, I guess let's have this discussion. Where are we? Mm-hmm. So on Last Jedi, full disclosure, and I just watched it again on Netflix. And I actually talked to someone who I work with in the office I'm working in who just watched it for the first time because it was on Netflix, and I was asking, he was like, it was all right, and he like, you know, like he liked Star Wars, but he's like, you know, I liked it all right, it was okay, but it wasn't obviously his favorite, and I've kind of go back and forth on Last Jedi because I'm definitely not in the camp of it sucked and Rian Johnson ruined Star Wars, but there are specific choices that I really would not have made. And I think it's the sort of, they're specific, like with Snoke, the idea of not going into his backstory and just killing him off as a part of Rey and
more
Kylo's.
Time for 5 years, Riley.
So that definitely not that one. But,
okay,
but no.
Really fast. Speaking of 5 years, I have to say, I dare anyone to watch the deleted scene of the 5 years at least more than once.
That's pretty good.
I made it through once and I said never again.
This sounds like
a holiday special. It's so bad. It's like, it feels like 20 minutes long. And I'm not kidding you.
So,
it already is long in the movie, but it's even longer in deleted scenes.
See, the comic adaptation had it right.
So,
one panel.
Holy crap. This thing's 8 minutes long. No way.
Yes,
no,
I
that's the
you.
No, that's the hang on, that's the 18. Soundtrack. That's the soundtrack. No, Star Wars Last Jedi, Star Wars 8 Kids Move, haven't taken a first step. Is this so I'm trying to find it on YouTube. I haven't seen this, Paul, which is why I was saying like
okay,
I kind of
you have it. Don't you have it digitally on Vudu?
No. Mm-mm.
All right, let me look.
You have a code. I know you have access.
I do. I just haven't put it in yet. I have.
You got 1 month left.
That is terrible. He's like, nah, I'll just watch it on Netflix.
Hang on, it's.
He is throwing digital codes across the room that he could easily just.
You really liked it, didn't you, Riley? You liked Last Jedi that much.
Oh my god!
Look a mischief on his face as he does it too. He's just like,
hang on, hang on. I have the Blu-ray here. This makes me kind of want to put it in my. Oh Lord, my microphones. Hang on. All right, my microphone's messed up.
This is why I was mad at you last week.
Yeah, that's true. Wait. So, the director of the Jedi, 14 deleted scenes. I thought I watched the deleted scenes, but I have no memory of this deleted scene. Maybe I did watch it.
Because you couldn't see anything but them on like a little gimbal thing moving around.
Riley, if you remember, you watched it at my house, but it was like 3 hours long, and you're like, okay, no, we're not going any further.
Oh, that's right. Because we were about to, and I was like, screw that.
You're like, 8 minute 5 year chase? No.
it's I'm telling you, like I watched it once. I couldn't believe I'm like they cut it down even more than this. Like it was longer.
Yeah.
And it was appalling, I'll be honest. But it's funny, Riley, I'm very much like you with The Last Jedi. To all respect with people with this diagnosis, I'm very schizophrenic to this to this movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I love it or I hate it. And I can't figure out which one is which. I have to wait till episode 9, I think, to see the whole story.
For sure.
Because there's moments that I love.
Which kind of takes us...
Yeah.
Well, let's bring it back full circle, like to the story here, like the idea of Rey's parents. Like there, I actually think that the idea of parentage in Star Wars is a very, well, in any mythology, is a very powerful storytelling device. So throwing Rey's parents out, if what Kylo is saying was true, is kind of just a storytelling dead end. Whereas if he's lying, and there is something more there that you know J.J. Abrams goes on to explore, then I think there's a lot of potential there. So like whether it's Kerry Russell or something else, the idea of Rey's parents meaning something, I think would be really cool, which, by the way, totally sounds like something J.J. Abrams would do, because he's not beholden to Rian Johnson's take on Rey's parents. Like, well, I mean, Rian Johnson
wasn't beholden to
that's the truth. Rian Johnson, let's be honest, though. It's not like Rian Johnson didn't, I guess he certainly closed the Snoke door, or sliced it, I should say, in half. But with the Rey's parents thing, let's be honest, the way Rian Johnson wrote it, and you know a bajillion, you know, executives and storytellers and creatives all went through that script a million times, the way they left that exchange between Kylo and Rey leaves the door open for Rey's parents. It could be a lie,
he's marrying Catwoman, but it's not Selena Kyle.
Want to know what Mark's really talking about? Listen to this week's Patreon episode.
That's a good plug. Patreon.com/Star Wars Report for Batman talk? It's irresistible.
My thing with that is, though, this is a weird like hang up I have that you might, guys, and everyone else may go, huh? But there's got to be somebody who agrees with me. I don't have an issue with them changing her backstory, but don't make it that Kylo lied. I have a problem with bad guys lying in Star Wars because it's not been done. So I'm like,
yeah, the device is the Count Dooku technique, which is tell the truth so much nobody believes you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a Sith thing. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily know that he's trained to be a Sith at all.
Well, no, I know. Well, yeah, but like I said, it's the best. I mean, I can't think of a villain ever lying. You know what? Tarkin. There we go. That's the loophole.
The Tarkin Initiative.
She lied to us. He's so shocked in that scene, too, as if he's surprised.
Right? What the crap?
She lied to us.
I have a question for you all. So do you think JJ will change that? I mean, do you think I'm with you too.
I think it's a matter of changing, but JJ being a director, he's going to be like, I'm filling in the gap that was left ? Because there's a lot of these things that it could swing either direction with. I mean, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't get a flashback from Huck's point of view as to how he met Snoke and how Snoke rose to power and took power from his dad and from Sloane and all them. Because, I mean, when they left the galaxy, Sloane and Huck's dad were part of the First Order group that was going to be reestablishing everything. Snoke come in somewhere and did a power move and come away as the Supreme Leader.
You know,
that's
what?
A story.
It's
that's
funny
one
you say
hell
that.
Of a story. Wait,
more often, this is what would happen on a podcast. Riley would be like, it's all right, but that's more for a comic. And that's how that would be his response to Mark's story idea, because that's like what we do. But I actually, Mark, playing the story of Battlefront 2, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing some prequel storytelling that explored the early First Order era.
Right.
After playing Battlefront 2 story, which you talked about last week, I only finally just now got around to it, but it was awesome. It was great stuff. I'd be open for it.
Like, if we've find out Aiden has to go and infiltrate the First Order to find out who Snoke is and how he came in. And that's how you play, and the whole point of view is from her. Like, oh, I'll be down.
Yeah.
And I'll just, for the whole Rey thing, I'll leave my piece with this whole Rey situation, is that I honestly think that Solo, the movie Solo, it gave an idea of how they're going to approach it. And the fact that she may just take on that name of Skywalker at the end of the film. If there is no blood-related Skywalker at the end,
interesting.
Of it. So, yes, like, and I'm not sure. And I said this on a different podcast, but I'll say it on here. I don't know if the whole Solo thing was intentional. Like, they were trying to set us up for the idea that, because obviously her Rey and Solo have they're very parallel each other very well.
Yeah,
and the fact that they're given a last name, like that's not their real name, and they take it as their own, would be interesting. Because they had that connection in the first film. If you wanted to continue the Skywalker legacy, you could do it with Rey if she took on that last name.
Yeah.
So that's where my money is. I don't think she's a blood relative, but I wouldn't be surprised if she took it on as her last name, because, you know, Rian Johnson, he destroyed the idea that her parents mean anything, right? Like that was his whole intention, is that they're dead, they're done. So if she took on the last name, that would, you know, because that the Skywalker family has taken her in. And let's be real here too. Luke's not going anywhere. He's a Force ghost. So he'll be like the surrogate father for her forever. So that's where my money's at right now.
So I can see it now.
The Dread Pirate Skywalker.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to introduce the new Force power, and she's going to basically leap almost like flying.
Mm.
And then an Imperial officer is going to look up and just be like, Rey Skywalker.
So Paul brings up a good point, though. I think a lot of people...
That's my joke, Mark.
It was funny.
It was like a two.
Two and a half out of four.
But seriously, though.
A lot of people think Skywalker is going to come back as a Force ghost. And, I mean, I'm in that same camp, but I have to ask the question why. I mean, Luke pretty much wants nothing to do with the Jedi returning, and for all intents and purposes, he fulfilled his mission. I mean, what would be the motivation for Luke to come back to Rey? Has he had an epiphany that he was wrong to have sent her away, and that's why he comes back? I mean, I'm all for Luke coming back, but where does it serve the story?
Mark Hamill's contract. That's the motivation.
That's a good point. Yeah.
From there, they just write it in.
No, that's a good point. Good point. Hey, let's talk about Twitter. I love talking about Twitter. Have you noticed
what's going on Twitter, Riley?
Tweeter.
Another Star Wars personality is talking about Twitter. No, James Mangold. You remember him? He was there were rumors that he was going to do like a Star Wars movie, and then they all kind of died after Solo box office died.
Did it die, or did it ever really live?
That's the real question. Yeah, I guess you could say that it's frozen in carbonite, the production on the... Yeah, that's right. Mark, you should have stepped on that joke. That was not very good.
It was too cold for me, man.
I'll edit it, make it sound like you stepped on your joke instead.
That's actually a really good idea. Please do that. But no, so James Mangold, talk about the idea of backlash on Twitter and the idea of these creatives, Star Wars creatives, and quote, at the point where when working and directing big franchises become the emotionally loaded equivalent of writing a new chapter of the Bible with the probable wow. danger of being stoned and called a blasphemer, then a lot of the bolder minds are going to leave the films to the hacks and the corporate boards. It's a somewhat simplistic argument upon my first reaction, but I kind of definitely agree with the sentiment, if I'm honest. Like the idea of and I think I don't know why is it with Star Wars particularly? Is it just because we're close to Star Wars that it seems like Star Wars is the franchise that is most where the creatives and the fans and all who have different... Do you think it's particular? Is it worse with Star Wars?
I mean, Paul can speak to it that it's just as bad in comics.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and same thing with gaming. I mean, think about it. Gamergate, ComicsGate, you know. Dan Slott was getting, because he killed Spider-Man only to bring him back, a year later, which everyone knew was coming, but he was getting death threats.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I haven't like heard anything specifically about like we've heard of like harassment. But I haven't heard like death threats really.
The one that jumps out to me is a couple years ago at Dragon Con. What's his face? The Vector Prime author.
But that kind of I meant like currently, but yeah, you're talking about so, R.A. Salvatore.
Yeah, R.A. Salvatore like years ago, because I was actually in the room at that, and it was because I know that kind of made the rounds on like nerd sites and stuff like that. But like being in the room where he kind of just recounted his life and what it was like living through that as a creative, it made me very sympathetic to those kinds of guys because of that, and it
still didn't make that book any better, but yeah.
It was brilliant, Michael.
Oh, it was man, like, was it?
Once they got away from the politics and Leia started being a Jedi. Mm.
But you know what, though? So here's the thing, because I told you, I promised shade earlier.
Let's hear it. With, listen, sun's out. Let's get some shade.
You know, I'd probably take his comments more seriously if he wasn't the guy that just completely remade Children of Men, but just threw some claws on it and called it Logan. So, you know,
but it
like,
was so good.
Like,
it was
no,
so
don't
good.
Talk to me about, like, oh, you're going to lose that original artistic blah, blah, whatever, you know, and it's boardroom and hacks. No, dude, you just took one movie, you put claws on it, and you called it another movie. And the movie's not even that old.
Well, but like, I don't, and again, I didn't follow this super closely, but like, I remember stuff I was reading about Logan was the fact that it was like the first, one of the first superhero movies Fox really just gave to Mangold and let him do whatever he wanted with it, which granted, you know, like he just took it, but like, it was really good.
What he did was he took somebody else's script and just like wrote,
and
yeah. Wolverine.
Yeah, no, I,
that is like my hill to die on, because there's so many people who are like, oh, Logan.
But the problem is you will die on that hill, because like, it just made a great movie. It just made an insanely good movie. I get what you're saying, though. Because like, what did he, I didn't realize that he did the Wolverine as well. But 310 to Yuma, amazing.
I love that.
Now, we'll say, I did like
Walk the Line. Come on, guys.
Yeah, Walk the Line. I love that.
Look, I'm specifically just targeting like one thing, and a film that a lot of people really liked.
Yeah,
it's just something that I've thought since I saw it. But I mean, yeah, he's done some good films.
I need to see it again. I only saw it the one time. I really want to see it again at some point.
Well, I think one of the things that Riley got at was, you know, we've got a franchise that gets hit over and over again, and you know, you look at Marvel and you look at these other ones. I think the issue here is that Star Wars has reinvented itself enough times where it's felt like there were resets. Granted, when it was the expanding universe, they went out of their way to be like, well, it's not a reset, it's just a retcon. It's a really cool story opportunity where we can fix problems and tell new stories at the same time. You know, and then now you got this point where, you know, Legends is its own backstory. You almost wonder, though, with directors and stuff feeling like, you know, we're not going to do these stories because of the backlash of the fans. Had they not done what they did with Legends, had they embraced Legends and we were learning a story about, instead of Rey and Finn, it was Jason and Jaina Solo and their little brother Anakin Solo, would we be having the same issue with a majority of the fans being so angry about things? Because in some ways it's almost like, man, Disney really kind of fumbled that punt along. Like, you know, they thought they were making the safe bet, but they've angered small group of fans, but they're loud.
Yeah, but they're not. But they're loud because you're within the echo chamber, and that's the thing. Even with all the people who, you know, boycott Solo and everything, that's not why Solo didn't do well. Because here's the thing, and as much as I think it is important to treat your fans right, like I wholly stand by that. If we do all stay home, it makes not one iota. If the general audience go, and then if we go and the general audiences don't, then it doesn't matter either. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it's the casuals that actually matter, and they are completely oblivious to this stuff.
That's so true.
Where I'm wondering, had they gone with the other story, would the casuals have reacted better to a Grandmaster Luke Skywalker than Luke the Hermit?
I think it's debatable, but I tend to think yes, because people I talk to all usually will say they, you know, Luke really troubled them. Luke really, the decisions of Luke really didn't sit well with them. And for me, it didn't sit well with me as a hardcore Star Wars fan, but yeah. I've accepted it, and yeah, I don't hate it as much anymore. I mean, I walked out of Last Jedi and hated it. I never hated a Star Wars movie. Never. I walked out and I hated it. Like, I cursed with my friend Tim from The Saga Continues on the way home to, you know, it's a long story, but yeah. And I, the second time I saw it, I loved it. So I don't know what it is. And I think, but I do think that Luke Skywalker, I think Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm thought, okay, let's give these people, you know, they didn't really understand how important I think Luke Skywalker was to so many people. I really don't. I think they underestimated it. And I think if they could go back, they would redo it. I think so. They wouldn't admit it, but I think they would. That's just my opinion.
I got the feeling that they were planning on making Leia step in and fill the role that Luke was going to be abandoning in this film with his death, that Leia was going to be, you know, the Jedi that Luke couldn't be because she just had the tenacity to do it. And then Carrie Fisher passed away, and they're like, oh, crap, we really are in a pickle now because we just offed Luke. We got to bring him back as a Force ghost because, I mean, thank God for that, Lucas. Like, you gave us that out. I mean, that's where I'm curious as to what that five-year plan would have been once it's all, you know, all the dust is settled, we come back and find out where they were planning to go. Like, that to me is very interesting because there was so much potential, and it did sound like they had a lot planned for Leia's character that they may not ever be able to deliver on now.
Yeah.
Well, in the standalones, I think I've been saying this a long time that I think it's a perfect storm what happened to Solo. And I think you cannot ignore Last Jedi. You can't ignore the fact that it came out 6 months later. You know, and I think Rogue One would have had the same fate if they would have switched places. And we'll never know. But that's, again, my opinion. I think that if you put Rogue One out 6 months after Last Jedi, it may make a little more than Solo, but it's not going to. What's the difference? If you market it the same, you put it out 6 months later, you have the same divisive movie that came out 6 months before, it's going to be, people are not going to be as jazzed to see it. So to me, that's the thing. It was a perfect storm, and you have people taking credit for it, the whole stupid Solo movement, like all that stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. And to me, it's just, you know, Disney, they were stubborn. And they said, no, we're going to keep this date. They didn't want to move it anywhere else. They didn't want to move it to Christmas because they had that Mary Poppins sequel. They didn't want to, you know, it's crazy, but yeah, they wanted to stick to that. I almost feel like it was a test. It was a test to see how strong Star Wars could be if, you know, everything was up against it. And it showed that obviously it's vulnerable when you put everything up against it. And that includes reshooting 80% of the movie and everyone thinking it's going to be terrible because of that reason. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a perfect storm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like when you say perfect storm, it is like a weird cacophony of unfortunate circumstances that surround Solo. That's kind of the emotion that all of us that kind of like the movie have. Is just like, well, it was good, but then there's all this extraneous stuff. Although I will say this, I'm always a little hesitant as far as factors. I definitely think Last Jedi, the controversy around it may have shaped the narrative around the film a little bit to the general public. Right, the sort of everyman, but let's be honest, like, you know, Last Jedi made, what is it, 600 million domestic, I believe, 500-600 million, somewhere around there. It was
total
like
failure. Yeah.
Oh, but whereas what's yeah. Solo up to? It's like three,
like less than two.
Yeah,
did it break three? I mean, that would be good if it did.
I'm actually curious because this kind of impacts my theory here. Let's say, all right, Box Office Mojo, mm-hmm. Solo, A Star Wars Story currently stands, drum roll please, ladies and gentlemen, at $209 million domestic. What would be a good comparison? Series Star Wars. Okay. Last Jedi, 620. But I believe that's worldwide. Let me double check that. No, it's domestic. 620 domestic. Jeez. So, again, it made one third of the box office. And I'm always, let's not blame the enormously successful financially Star Wars film, the $600 million Star Wars film, and say that the reason that the next film didn't do so well is because of the one that was like, that blew up the box office as much as Last Jedi did. Because, like,
yeah, I mean,
I just don't buy that a bunch of fans were angry about Luke Skywalker, so no one went to see Solo. Really?
I think it may have played a part of it. I don't think that, so I think it is just sort of an issue of, because it's a lot of stuff that I heard. You know, so it's clearly what do you call it? Not situational data.
Bubble.
But whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but basically, it's, you know, it's not real statistics here. But what I've noticed just from talking to people is, you know, just casual fans that go, nah, I'm not going to go see it. Like, you know, I wasn't really thrilled. I didn't like how they did Luke or blah, 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 whatever, you know. So I don't think it's so much as a boycott as almost just a sit out type of thing, but I also agree that I don't think that's like the factor. I don't think that everyone's like, this is not how this is gonna be. Mm-hmm. I won't see any more films. I think that, or like I said, or even go, I didn't like that, so I'm not gonna see everything else. I think it may have contributed, but I don't think it was the only factor.
Yeah,
dampened down enthusiasm for sure.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that. Totally see that.
Kind of like our next story, you know, with Ahmed Best and how his reactions to the character Jar Jar being embraced by society.
Guys, I saw this headline in the news, and I have a story to tell, a confession to make of sorts, actually, in conjunction with the story that it just brought up. But yeah, Ahmed Best considered suicide after the Phantom Menace backlash. Ahmed Best, the man behind, of course, Jar Jar Binks. This is from Fanthatrax, by the way, our friends over at Fanthatrax. Also, tip of the hat to The Hollywood Reporter. It was... Here's the tweet. I'm just going to read it.
Tweet, yeah.
20 years next year, I faced... I'm just actually going to click on it here through Twitter. Because he has a picture of him and his son that's really sweet, too. I faced a media backlash that still affects my career today. This was the place I almost ended my life. Dang. Mm-hmm. It's still hard to talk about. I survived, and now this little guy is my gift for survival. Would this be a good story for my solo show? Let me know. Man, I would so badly want to see an hour with him. Because, like, have you heard? It's interesting because he's not really on the convention circuit a whole lot. He's at Disney Star Wars Weekends a few times. But the one time I probably heard the most is like some YouTube interviews he did with that Jamie Stangroom guy. I don't know if you remember these, Michael. They may have come across. But
yeah, this is... is that the one where... I think I know what you're talking about, where he was... It was kind of like what we're doing right now, where it's just sort of like a back and forth Skype type of deal.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
and those were really fascinating to hear him kind of... Man, I would love to talk to this guy for like an hour. maybe we'll get him on the podcast. All right, producer man, get him on.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
But it's so true. And I just like there. It came up in a conversation I was having with a couple other lieutenants here on base about like just Star Wars as is wont to happen. It's weird having more conversation about Star Wars off air than on air. That's one funny thing about my life right now. But the Jake Lloyd came up and like his mental health issues that he struggled with over the years that eventually led to that very public, you know, high-speed car chase and incarceration and subsequent admission into a mental hospital for recovery purposes. And when that happened, I kind of, you know, speaking of like the Serial podcast or like investigative crime dramas where you get like super, super interested in some of these cases, I was just like, what happened? Because I remember meeting him. He's like one of the first Star Wars celebrities I ever met at a tiny little convention in, I kid you not, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It was called AdventureCon.
Been there.
It was like him and Billy Dee Williams, one of the Ewoks, Anthony Forrest. It was actually a pretty good Star Wars lineup for that tiny convention.
Nice.
But I was also like 17 at the time, I want to say, and I'd never been to a comic book convention. I just discovered like Star Wars podcast through the old Forcecast at the time, and I was just getting interested in this stuff. So I didn't even realize. I thought that autographs were like part of the ticket price at a convention. I was so naive. But I went up and asked for an autograph, and then you know his attendant's like, you know, holds out his hand and is like, yeah, money. I was like, oh. And of course, to like not be awkward at all, I didn't. Yeah, like I shoved in the $20 or whatever it was. And to this day, I needed something to sign, and I didn't think about it. So I bought a big giant Star Wars Saga cast photo that's very popular. It's like all the cast stars. Like, oh, I'll just collect all the signatures. They are all at these conventions signing for free. I might as well, you know. To this day, I have that one poster with just Jake Lloyd's signature. Marking, by the way, the only Star Wars celebrity I've ever asked for an autograph is Jake Lloyd. And nice. It reminded me of this Ahmed Best story because years later, the first time I talked to Bruce before he came on board to produce the show and subsequently be hosting it, he and I were working on a separate Star Wars project that never came to fruition just because we just didn't have the resources to do it. But I was working on a kind of investigative behind-the-scenes Star Wars podcast series on the prequel actors, particularly and mainly Jake Lloyd, looking at him at the time, to kind of explore what went wrong and how the toxicity drove them, quite frankly, drove him crazy in some form or fashion. Granted, I don't know Jake Lloyd. I don't know all the circumstances, but just even from what the glimpses we saw of his life, interviews, there are tons of interviews over the last couple years before he disappeared off of the public. Like, no one's heard from him since all this happened. He hasn't made any public appearances at all. But since that, been in the year, 2-3 years leading up to it, you would see these footage of him at different conventions, you know, going on with like a local newscast people that he would go at, like Houston Channel 5 for the Dallas, you know, or Dallas Channel 5 for fan days, and he'd be promoting little convention, and like some idiot of a local TV news host would be like, you know, say yippee, or, you know, and he would just, and he obviously hated it. And I they're like, even on YouTube now, if you search for Jake Lloyd interviews, you'll find stuff from like, you know, 2012, 13 of just him obviously hating his life and outwardly saying it in different interviews. He would be very honest about how much he hated Star Wars fandom and for the way it treated me. And I actually started to do some like serious deep investigation and like making some phone calls to contacts I had who would have known somebody who knew him or knew his family or talked to his family. And just because there was a sort of weird lack of peace I had about it. And I was like, I really want to know this story. And I feel like this story is something fandom needs to hear. Now, this is long before what's happened in fandom since The Last Jedi has erupted. Mm-hmm. And the kind of, you know, that kind of vitriol has exploded so much more than I ever thought possible. But I like I found an old website that had like a newspaper interview with a series. It was on child actors, and it interviewed Jake Lloyd's mom and a few other moms of child actors. And this is from like 2004, and it was about and I don't want to dig too much because I don't want to bring us down too much, but it's about essentially the emotional abuse of child actors. And, you know, we never really thought about Jake Lloyd that much, or whether or not this backlash hit him. I say maybe some of us did, but largely speaking, I don't think most people thought about it and how it impacted this kid. But in this newspaper article that I found in this interview where she talked about how in like 2001, 2002, like within a couple years of The Phantom Menace being released, how they had to uproot and move their home because their address went public, and like stalkers and haters would be coming to his house personally for this kid who's like probably 11, 12 at the time. And like that's something that it blew my mind. Like, I didn't even know this. And like Star Wars fans didn't know this. And I was trying to work on this from a semi-journalism angle, or at least just like, here's a story that I feel like we need to know because of the vitriol of fandom and how it has impacted some of these actors. And it's so much more that, you know, it's the case with Ahmed Best. He admits suicide on his Twitter right here. And it's one of those things that I think it's important that we look at this in how do we shape the overall dialogue better? Not how do we root out and find the hateful people and attack them, because I really do think that my reaction to seeing this tweet when I was exploring that stuff, I just like, how do we, I don't know, make ourselves better and take the lessons of what Star Wars should be in our lives and shape the dialogue not to be something that, you know, makes an actor from the franchise consider ending his life. And, you know, it kind of depressed me a little bit. But at the same time, I think there is hope here, because I know I'm kind of going on a really down rant of sorts. But I really do think that, largely speaking, as much as I've poked at it, the worst of the worst on Twitter and the worst of the worst behavior that we've seen from fan sites, fans, people on Twitter, even creators, people who mean well but maybe stir the pot, or people who are absolutely don't deserve our time or attention, all the things we've talked about in recent weeks, it's the minority. And it's a matter of, I really think it's now the time to try to bring out the best of what Star Wars means to us in our everyday lives, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm kind of flounder.
Boba's Bounty, something like that.
Yes, let's do it.
Don't meet hate with hate. Meet hate with love. But before we get to
it's
that,
worth
though,
a lot to me.
We love to talk about, though. Mm-hmm. There is that Star Wars Resistance information that came out.
Yes, yes.
The character art that was revealed before we get to Boba's bounty. I what I don't get out of this is how everybody realized that was Cardinal. I was like, wait, what? Like, that really? Like,
I think yeah. just because of the that's the only one that. Are you talking about the Kazuda?
Yeah,
he's talking about the red guy.
Cardinal. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they're just going based off of it's the only red stormtrooper that we know of that's not hip-hop trooper.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense then. Okay. All right. I'm there. All right. Everybody's like, is that? I'm like, okay.
But yeah, I'm digging
only
this.
Only one guy gets the red armor. It's like Windu with the purple lightsaber.
And now, I can't really tell, though, but in the very back, is that a new species or is that a Rodian?
I thought it was a Hoden.
Why don't they just release that art? They already showed it. Why don't they just release it?
I think honestly a lot of it has to do with conventions want to feel like that they're giving their attendees something special.
Okay.
And so lots Fair of enough. Times there's contracts and stuff where they're like, "Oh, you know, only our attendees get to see this. Don't turn around and then just release it to everyone or then they'll feel like they don't need to go." So it's just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also like television is so much more as far as the production process and the release schedule and, you know, air dates and stuff. All of that's so much more last minute than films. I'm sure that they're trying to get more ducks in a row before they're willing to show us more art or footage or stuff from Resistance. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, no, definitely. Although I'm excited. It's what Resistance is what? Like probably a few months out if it's this fall.
Yeah.
It's got to be soon. Maybe they'll see it. Maybe they'll show stuff at San Diego, like that 10 Clone Wars anniversary panel. Or maybe New York Comic Con. That's been a place where they've released stuff previously.
Yeah. If you go to those, don't walk out halfway through. I did not plan on you taking a sip when I said that, but I did. I was like, okay, here's the perfect opportunity to get in. And then I almost got a spit take.
You almost did. I was listening. It took some discipline, some serious discipline. Just serious discipline. Okay, now I think we're ready for Boba's Bounty.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
You guys know it. It's something in the week that we've done, experienced, smelled, read, watched, played on a PlayStation. Well, yeah, you never know. Tasted, maybe. There's like the Jar Jar popsicle or what have you. I'm gonna go ahead and kick us off, guys, and then I'm gonna have to bounce, unfortunately, because I'm coming up on a hard out. But I watched Last Jedi this week on Netflix, and a good number of other lieutenants I know have as well, because it's super convenient. It's right there on the front page right now if you have a Netflix account, and I enjoyed it. And it was interesting talking, like I mentioned earlier, that lieutenant who hadn't seen it yet. Netflix is. It's a big deal. Like I really think it's a whole.
People really like the Netflix.
People like, you know, you can get a DVD mailed right to your door. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's available.
Are you still
right
on that plan?
Actually, no, but my parents are legitimately. They still have the two DVDs at a time where you can really. Although I don't think they've changed them out in like 6 months. I guess this is my new pattern with Star Wars. I didn't watch the whole thing on Netflix. But I watched most of it.
I love parts of it.
Anybody, Michael, I'll give you the first guess as to what part I kind of was making dinner during and ignored.
Probably getting right there at Canto.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct, sir. But I actually, it's solidified how schizophrenic I feel about this movie, or how polarized I am about this movie. Because some of the decisions, when I walked out, I'm kind of the opposite of you, Paul, but then we both arrived in the same location. I walked out, I was like, man, that was great. And I still think, like, by itself, it's a much better film than it is as a sequel. By far.
Yes.
But there's specific choices in it that I go through and I'm like, you know what? I do totally agree with that. And like Luke Skywalker is one of them. I really like and agree with the direction that they took Luke Skywalker. I know that's a very controversial thing. A lot of people don't. We're all Star Wars fans and we all love Star Wars. So that's okay. But
that's why Riley was kicked off the show, really.
That's actually. true. Cheers. But no,
I can't.
The rewatch was fun. I think the reason, and I'll just kind of toss this in as to why. This is why, for me, Riley, personally, I like the characterization of Luke, especially upon the repeated viewings. I saw the stumbling and the failure of the character and the loss of who the character was. I mean, it's all there. I don't disagree. It's just sort of how I react to it versus others. And to me, the reason I react to it positively is because of the way I read his sacrifice at the end of the film. Even though he's there in ghost form, his farewell to sister and his subsequent stand, seeing a force power we'd never seen before, is the heroic Luke Skywalker we all wanted. I know people probably, if you may have wanted more, or if you don't view the ethereal form as legitimately Luke Skywalker, I do. That for me was the Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker moment, and it was made more powerful by his reluctance and failure. And actually, you know what? I'm going to toss this in. I don't have it super easy to reach because it's in my YouTube history. I'm going to comb through that. It's always a dangerous proposition, by the way. but I will pull it out and send a link to you, Michael, to put in the show notes for this week's episode 338 on StarWarsReport.com. And we'll tweet it out too, actually. Well, no, you know what? We're not going to.
This is where Riley's going through the long
I thought about
list.
It.
He's like, just note, make sure to tell Mark to delete my browser history when I die.
Yeah, just please do. No, it was it's a fan kind of mashup. And the guy does, that's the thing I feel bad is, I think it was called We Are What They Grow Beyond.
Is that like the mentor one?
What? No, no. But it's by the same guy who made it.
Oh. It's not the one where it basically it's like a flashback to Return of the Jedi when it just sort of
kind of. I can't. I wish I could find it. Legit, I'll have to comb through my history and find it because.
Look,
we'll have it.
Feel the pressure of the hard out building.
I know.
Which you bounced before this happened anyway, but I still just can't get over the fact that everything that went wrong that happened, it was so terrible in The Last Jedi, could have been prevented if Finn just didn't park like a jerk bag. I mean, seriously. If he overrode, I don't know who was driving. One of the two. But if they would have just parked like a normal person, then they wouldn't have been arrested. They could have went and spoke to the master code breaker like a normal person, and then went from there. And everything would have been fine because he wouldn't have betrayed them to the First Order. But no, they're like, you know what? I don't like parking in parallel lines. Let's just land right here.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just like, I've disconnected that plot hole from the portrayal of Luke Skywalker successfully, I guess.
you know when Michael goes to Dragon Con and he pulls up next to Christy and he just looks out and he's like, that guy, he's a jerk bag, can't park. Always with the jerk bag. Mm-hmm.
That's why I have those little turtle drawings to stick on people's car now.
I love the parking ticket ones. It's like, may the fleas of a thousand camel caravan nestle in your armpits.
Well, this one says lots of 4-year-olds can't stay inside the lines too. Maybe if you practice on coloring this turtle, then you can get in the lines when parking or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so passive aggressive. It feels good.
Did you find your link, Riley?
I still haven't. I found a lot of. I watch way too much YouTube, is what I'm finding out. Finding a lot of clips from Joe Rogan. A lot of like the CrossFit regional games. I'm finding some of the Vlog Brothers. Star Wars Explained. I've got a lot. Oh, I'm not saying that. I've
now I want to know.
X-Men Triple X.
Whoa. That's so, on YouTube?
I meant Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel. Get your mind out of the gutter here. Right. Family Jeez. Program. Mm.
Sure. All right. Mark.
On that note,
Riley's over there mixing a drink.
So, Who's next on
Rogue Transmissions?
All right, guys, I appreciate it. I'm out of here. I will comb through and send you that link later tonight, Michael, so you'll have access and you people can listen to it. And
For you listeners, it'll be instant. You won't have to wait as long as we did.
It's true. It's so true. All right, guys, we'll talk soon.
Take care.
Later, Eddie. Riley.
Hi, this is Ashley Eckstein, voice of Ahsoka Tano from Star Wars and founder of Her Universe, and this is the Star Wars Report.
So Paul, what have you done recently?
All right, I guess a couple things. Last week counts still, right? I can still use week. All right,
yeah.
I'll do two things. One of my best friends, John Beerley, who used to be a podcast partner with me on for the last while. He's a great guy. I'm blessed with a lot of great friends who will do things for me, like send me things all the time. Like, I am very blessed. He found the Black Series Chewbacca exclusive for Target and sent it to me. And,
is that the one with the goggles?
Yes. And the new bandolier. It looks beautiful. And I'm not great at finding this stuff. And for some reason, like, I just, I've had some luck, but I just don't get out as much as I need to get this stuff. And, John Beerley again comes through. He's like, "Hey, I got one for you." And, you know, he refuses to let me pay him back, which he knows I will pay back in tenfold one day, John Beerley. You have not escaped me, but no, it was great. It's a beautiful figure. I got the Han. As soon as he told me he got it for me, I had to buy Han Solo. Nice. So
now is this the 375 or 6-inch line?
All six inch.
Nice.
I don't
love that line.
Yeah, I don't do 3 3/4 anymore. It's too expensive. I have too many expensive hobbies, and
yeah,
you know, I'm just, you know, if I find something that's really cool looking, I'll get it, but it's all Black Series from here. So I got that last week from, or a couple weeks ago, from my best friend, John. And then this week I woke up on the, you know, July 4th, the day off. I got the new Star Wars 50 issue. And as you guys know, I'm a big comic book fan. So Star Wars comics are a big deal for me. And I don't know about you, and this would be a whole different podcast. We could never just do a whole podcast about this. Mark, you'll be very familiar with this. Star Wars comics have been, I've been liking them for the most part. Like, since Marvel's taken over, I know you and Nate on Beyond the Films have think differently.
We've been hit or miss with some.
Yeah. I think they've been really consistent for the most part. Up until, there was a couple weird segments here and there. But for me, the main series has been pretty consistent. When Gillen took over, I haven't loved it. Like, the Ashes of Jeddah storyline, it could have been amazing, and it just was not. If the art was kind of off a little bit, but anyway, it's whatever. So the last couple issues on Mon Cala, solid. I liked it. Issue 50 was like awesome. I loved issue 50, and I love where it's going. There's some great twist in there, which, again, it takes place between Empire and A New Hope, so it's not like I can be surprised too much, but there is twists that were, or an obvious twist that was coming that still felt impactful. Have you guys read the issue? Do you guys know what I'm talking
not
about?
Not yet. No, no.
Okay, so there's so behind. So it's, but it,
Michael,
it's fun.
Come on, man.
Dude, come on. When they brought up General Grievous meets Admiral Akbar, I was like, I'll take a break.
That's Darth Vader. That's different. That's a different series. He only crossed.
You didn't,
over for
you didn't
a few
care
issues.
For the Cylons.
Yeah,
I have read more since then. I don't quite remember. The last thing that I was reading was where they ended up hijacking the Star Destroyer, and then all of a sudden the elite stormtroopers showed up.
I love that stuff. I really did. And again, like, I know people didn't like it. I think the comics have been more consistent with Marvel than with Dark Horse towards the end, in my opinion. Like, I just can, the last Dark Horse kind of lost me there, and just I think they kind of got away from what I love Star Wars to be anyway. It just wasn't for me as much.
Well,
I still like Legacy for the most part, but
yeah. Well, we were talking about in Rogue Transmissions that you and I are both like big costume guys, and yes, that's my biggest problem is those elite troopers drive me up the wall, because I'm like, this is like, I don't feel like a Star Wars person created these costumes, you know? Like, there's no way that you would see a stormtrooper with, like, knives just strapped to him, you know? Like that feels like something from a Marvel comic, but not a doesn't feel like Star Wars.
Let me argue a little bit with this. Uh-huh. And I love debating and arguing, so just bear with me. I think of, like, the Clone Wars, and I immediately think of that when I saw the Elite Trooper series. I forgot what their name was, but anyway, when I first saw them, I immediately thought of the Bad Batch.
Right.
When I saw them, and I'm like, okay, so I didn't like it. To me, it never took me out because there's so many different troopers already in the Clone Wars. So, and especially with the Bad Batch of these like hyper super commando guys that had all kinds of weapons. Like, and again, that wasn't necessarily, I'm assuming it's canon, but, and they're all not rendered correctly. So I don't know if there were knives or not in there, but to me, it seemed a natural progression because, you know, the Clone Wars and the I almost called the Alliance. Is this Firefly? The Republic had their own, you know, commands, you know, secret commandos of the Bad Batch and or whatever. And you have now the Empire has theirs. So to me, it felt like a natural progression. I understand where maybe some of the costume designs weren't for you, but for me, like I felt like the Clone Wars that had set that up, and I was fine with that. My good friend Tim on the Saga Continues podcast I'm on, I think he doesn't like him as much. Like he's with you, Michael. It took him out of it a little bit, but right. I liked it.
Like I said, I mean, it's for the story wise, it's fine. I just, and it really is more the knife guy. Now the sniper also, I'm like, why does he have to have the little thing? But I'm like, you know what? Like, it's, you can look at, for instance, like the the mud troopers and stuff like that, and be like, okay, I guess that works fine or whatever.
Love mud troopers.
Yeah, I do too. I really like those. But like I said, it's just that knife guy just bothers me.
That knife guy sucks.
Yeah.
And wrap it up. My portion. Star Wars 50 is a great issue. It's supposedly supposed to be tying into Empire. Like we're starting to go towards Empire era apparently, which this issue doesn't really tell me anything, but it may be opening up the fact that we might get the canon version of Ord Mantell. Now I know I've listened to Nate talk about this from Beyond the Films about how there's like five different versions of the Ord Mantell telling.
This will be the version.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but I almost think it's gonna, because where they're, I don't want to spoil where they're at. Say, what, you guys read the book? God, I hate you guys. Come on, read the damn books. Come on.
To be fair to you though, Paul, when you're talking about your Black Series hunt, I don't think it's that you have bad luck. I just think that the distributors aren't sending the figures out anywhere. You know, think about Force Friday for The Force Awakens, and, you know, there were figures of every character on the shelves. Rogue One, that was like, they had a lot of them there, but not all of them there at my local stores, and nothing else. I mean, the Hot Wheels ships, can't find any of them. They stocking them. Like, they're just not even, they don't care. I'm like, come on, I need my Rogue One stuff. I need my Han Solo. I want that new Falcon. Like, dang,
the new Falcon is beautiful. I have it, Mark. It's so beautiful.
I'm so jealous. See, and I just went to Walmart yesterday, and they've got the Legends line of Marvel characters. They have the new Old Man Wolverine. All these new characters they restock. I'm like, come on. You're killing me.
And have you paid much attention to those, Mark?
I tried to. I just can't afford anything.
But what I'm saying is, compare one of those Legends to the Black Series, and you're like, oh, double jointed elbows, double jointed knees and stuff, and you're like, what? Like, what the crap? And you know, they've been using the face tech or face print tech way beforehand, and then you also get a ton of accessories and a build a figure and stuff, and I'm like, step it up, Hasbro. Like why are you favoring Marvel more than Star Wars? Come on.
Okay, I'm with you 100% on that, because with the build a figure, right? Think about some of the big ones they've had, like Thanos right now. The World War Hulk. You know, they've had the Iron Man Hulk armor, big massive ones, right? The Sentinel back in the older series and stuff. But Black Series, give me a panel from the Tantive 5 or the Tantive 4, you know, and make that where you build the hallway, or give me a, you know, First Order hallway where each, you know, like the First Order stuff builds their hallway. The Rebels gets a part of Maz's canteen or whatever. Give me some background stuff. Like, I absolutely loved my Thrawn 50th anniversary San Diego Comic-Con, whatever it was that I got. It's up in the corner. But the only downside is, like, I thought I was getting this whole playset, and really all it is just a really decorative box. Like, if you ditch the box, you really have nothing. I'm like, ah, that's kind of a bummer. Like, I'm keeping that box, and it's staying right there on the shelf, baby. But I want some of that stuff. Give me some things that I can start putting these things in front of, because, you know, it's a kid's toy, yes, but there are people out there like me that are like, it's on display.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, these things, you say they're kids' toy, but these are not targeted kids. These are collectors.
No, they really are.
Like,
yeah. And
those,
that's the issue that you're like talking about, though. Mark. When you've got the Marvel ones, you can get to these crazy, like, Spider-Man poses, like he's hanging off a vulture and stuff. My Jaina Solo keeps falling over. My Ahsoka Tano keeps falling over. Like, the skinny ones have better balance than the bigger ones, but really the armored figures are the only ones that really have more movement to their hips and their ankles, like your Boba Fett, Jango Fett, your clone troopers, your armored troopers.
Yeah.
Those seem to be the ones that are closest to the Marvel line of things. But you're right, though. The design that they have for Marvel is definitely more aimed at posability and nailing, you know, the people that are looking for that. I mean, because I probably rearrange mine 3 to 4 times a month.
And how great would it be? Because here's my biggest gripe with them, with the Black Series, is that the arm articulation is just so limited. You cannot get, or it doesn't look great, at least, actually doing like a double-handed, like, blaster shot. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get any real poses out of that. And lightsaber, you might as well forget it. Like, you're holding the lightsaber in one hand, or it's not happening. But yet, they have stuff like with a lot of the newer Marvel, or the Marvel Legends line, they're giving what's called butterfly joints in them, so that you can actually just completely swing that arm completely over. And I'm like, man, if they put that in some of the troopers and stuff, we could actually start seeing them hold the blasters like they should.
Yeah. They started doing that with Bobby Drake Iceman. They had it so he could put both his hands in front to do the ice blast, and they gave him those shoulders that came forward. And I remember, because mine broke, like, right away, I had to put it back together. That's the downside, is they're super flimsy. But, I mean, they definitely have that down, because they're thinking about it in that regard. I mean, you know, you can't even get a figure stand with the Black Series. I mean, at least, like, the Disney Elite line, they give you a stand with their figures. But their figures are even worse, because they have nothing for leg posability. They might as well be a 5-point of articulation in all but name. I mean, they've got movements, but you get out of like the main pose that they want you to do, and yeah, you're knocking off Baze's backpack. I was so upset about that. But yeah, Paul, it's not just you, man. It's Hasbro. Okay, it's all on them. Yeah, the ball is in their court, and they've dropped it, stabbed it with a knife. Come on, Hasbro.
And they also, by the way, before they did the new face laser or whatever thing, the Elite Luke, to Last Jedi Luke, is so much better than the Black Series Luke, in my opinion. I love that Elite Series Luke. I know the Elite Series is like, people look down on them and like whatever. I actually love them. I don't have a ton, but the ones I have, I love a lot. And I think, and I don't have to, you know, fight over people for them because no one wants them. So,
and then you get them for $5
each, man. Yeah, they dropped the price massively. I was like, oh,
but
all
but
of
guys,
them for the price of one?
they didn't give a Solo.
Yeah.
At least for Solo.
Yeah,
that's
why I'm bummed out. That's what we were talking about earlier with, you know, some of the reasons why. It's like, well, yeah, they didn't market it. Like, you can't even, you know, when Last Jedi was out, you walk into the toy aisle and you're like, oh, there's a Star Wars movie coming. You couldn't say that was Solo, you know, and even the Disney store didn't have anything for it. So, yeah, it's bad and it's frustrating, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it just has to do with the retailers and the, you know, Hasbro and the other companies and stuff just did not have enough time to turn around and get those figures out and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I actually, you know, especially talking about the higher end stuff. And if you just give me 1 second here, I'll actually grab it so you can
Show us, Michael. Wait. Show us.
Modeling by Michael Morris.
So I know, everybody else can't see this, but at least you guys can, so you can maybe help me describe better or whatever. But my...
Oh, yeah. Sexy. Yeah. Sexy, dark, majestic, yeah. Realistic.
This is the Hot Toys...
70s hair.
Yeah, it's the Hot Toys Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker, which is so fantastic. And he even has... the lightsaber will light up. Yeah. Because it has the interchangeable arm, which is kind of funny, too, because I'm like, huh, I wonder what he had to do when he ran out of batteries in the movie, since he has the robot arm there.
My arm won't move.
Does anybody have any? What are the little button batteries?
Hydra Spanner, I'll take the battery pack out of it.
I need three of them. but yeah, so this, it's pretty awesome. The accessories are great. It comes with, basically two lightsabers. Now this one is completely attached to the arm, and he has another arm as well. So he has, one just regular arm, and then he has the arm that is actually attached to the lightsaber. It lights up. He even has like a wave, thing for the lightsaber. So it's like he's swinging it, which is pretty cool. Ooh. And it also looks really good, lit up.
Does he have the dark side, I'm going to choke a Gamorrean force maneuver?
He's got like the little two-finger thing, so I guess if you want to kind of do that, or if you want to do the, you know, you can take me to Jabba now. And in fact, I've done several of these poses, so you can just go to Morris Isley on Twitter and see those, or Instagram. And then he comes with the, you know, so like right now I have him in the end of scene stuff. In fact, I don't have him quite right. Let me go ahead and bend that over. There we go. You know, he has the back and forth, where he has
slick.
The little white, flap there on his tunic or whatever you call it.
Now, is that actual cloth? Or uh-huh. Is that like a plastic?
That's actual cloth, but it has some sort of like slick. Bendable material in there so it bends over.
Michael, I have a quick question for you. Are you a flap open or a flap close guy?
You know, I think it actually looks better with the flap open.
No!
What?
No!
Really? No?
It's
That's
closed.
Colorist.
It has to be Jabba's palace or a nothing.
Well, see, okay, so here's the thing, cuz well, he actually has in Jabba's palace, he actually has the like the robes.
Yeah, I saw
you know,
it.
And all
the
that
picture
and
you posted.
Yeah. So he has all that, but I've taken it all off now. And then he has the, the actual like robe, or not robe, I guess the cloak. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. So yeah, he came with a cloak, and then he also came with like the robe and like little cloth belt as well.
So you're saying Black Series is out and Hot Toys is in?
Well, if you can hit that price point. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I only have three of them. You know, I have this one. I have, I have two. I have this one, and then I have Rey with BB-8. So I guess you can count that as three, but I got it like as a set. And then Christine has the Hoth Leia. I didn't want to get myself in trouble there and say I had it.
Nice.
But we have four if you count the BB-8, which was really more of an accessory, but whatever.
So Hot Toys, if you want to send some of those over to the Second Airborne, we'd be more than happy to review
that's
them
right.
for you, post pictures, Michael and myself.
Yeah, because, I mean, this
Heck,
thing...
We'll even send some Paul's way. I'm sure he'll give you a nice review.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, and the thing is anything. That, like, too, he actually has, like, so many different hands so that you can get all the different poses out. Now, one weird thing is this little maneuver here... But it actually says in the instructions that it's for accessories coming later. So I don't know if they're going to do like just an accessory pack or if it's that they're going to do another Luke Skywalker that you can get and then switch parts.
Oh, they're
going
to keep
a
Return of the Jedi. You're going to get the speeder bike combo.
I don't know. I don't know what that means exactly, but we'll see. I hope it's not something
where
I have to buy another.
That's the only time he had a helmet, right? I mean, aside from maybe when he was wearing the full pilot suit. How many times did Luke wear anything on his head?
Yeah, I don't
Speeder
know. I mean,
bike, the helmet
yeah. See,
for
I
training.
Would just think it's the yeah. Maybe it has to do with the indoor garb. I guess
his hat when he was on Tatooine, looking through the one thing.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Luke, come inside.
right. So I don't know, man. But he also came with like the manacles. Is that the Star Wars term?
Yeah.
Basically, the handcuffs and then the blaster too that he tried to shoot Jabba.
So you
got to
get Chewie now, so you can have that scene where he's trying to put the manacles on him.
Yeah, but see, that's a new hope, loop, though. Yeah, yeah.
You got to get the accessory kit. Damn it. Yeah.
But so okay, and then I'll be quick on this one because I actually don't want to give away too much of it because maybe be doing something with it coming up. But I had one other thing, huh?
Dragon Cook.
No. So basically, and unfortunately, the circumstances weren't great. A really good friend of mine who, you know, when I talk about when 501st and, you know, like we go and do shop night and stuff like that.
Nice.
But it was David Hearn was his name. He actually passed away. Aww. And which really sucks. And that was rough. On the bright side of things, at least they end up having a service for him and everything, and then the 501st all met up afterwards and went out to eat and stuff. Corey D. Williams, son of Billy D. Williams, is actually local and does a lot with the 501st, and so he actually came out to it. And so I ended up spending about an hour just talking to him about everything from like him growing up as a kid to like his grandfather. You know, and just like really cool stuff like that and everything. So, like I said, I don't want to give too much detail because maybe we can, you know, work something out and get a really good interview out of it later. But yeah, I spent just an hour, just me and him, just, you know, just talking about stuff that was just really cool.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, for me, we're heading up to Camp Merriweather tomorrow morning, in fact, so I'm planning on repping my Star Wars Rebels gear up there. I got my long-sleeve t-shirt, my short-sleeve, my sweater. My son's patrol is Rebel Patrol, so of course, you know, everywhere we go, everyone's like, dude, I love your patch, because we got the little stormtrooper with the crossbones and stuff. So I always get a kick out of doing that, and hopefully, you know, I'll run into a couple people that have heard the podcast. That happened last year. It's always kind of fun to run into somebody and talk Star Wars in the middle of camp. Usually you don't have much else to do. You're out of signal and all that, so I'm looking forward to that. And now also finishing Last Shot by Daniel Jose Older. It's been a fun book. I'm enjoying that. So hopefully I'll get that all finished off this weekend, be able to chat with him more about some of his characters and choices thereof. It's been a interesting book and stuff, and I'd love to pick his brain on some things with that. But yeah.
Mark, I have a question because I know I'm a fan of Beyond the Films. And so I know you listen to Audible and read them at the same time, right? Is that what you usually do?
So I usually do. My Audible account right now has been suspended because of all the camps that we're doing. My wife's like, you don't get to have your Audible this month.
Oh,
so, of course, that's gone on since May. So I'm now into 3 months of like, I need my Audible back. It takes me forever to read a book anymore. I should be through with this.
So you're a slow reader like myself. I'm a slow reader.
I wasn't always. When I worked at Kodak, you know, I was doing 12-hour shifts, making X-ray film. I was really good at it, so I had a lot of free time. Mm. I could read a whole book in a night, but no, not anymore. Like, I don't know if something about my passion for the story has shifted or if it's just the fact that I've got three kids now instead of just one and a half at that time.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of time. I mean, like, that's what, like, I have ADHD, so I'm not so much a slow reader as much as I'm like, all right, let's go see, open this up, and then... Oh, hey, I was wondering about that thing, like, you know, like peanut allergies. That's weird, right? Hour later, I'm like looking up peanut allergies. I'm like, why did I do this?
See, I squirrel in a different direction. I'm all like, oh, this character's that alien race. What's that look like? Google or Wikipedia. That's what I get back into it. And then I'm like, oh, that reminds me of that one story.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's just a lot of it's like we're just like, oh, squirrel.
So I listen to the podcast on the way to work and the way back, and also here's my big thing. I listen to, and this is probably hard for a lot of people, and it does get me in trouble sometimes because I don't remember everything to the detail, but I'll play Battlefront 2 and I'll listen to the audiobook at the same time. I'll mute the audio and I'll just listen to it. So I have, because I can't do one thing at a time. I have to do like multiple things at once. So playing Battlefront 2 and listening to an audiobook, that's how I got through most of Last Shot and Most Wanted recently. And now, granted, it's not always, I have to rewind sometimes and I get too into the game and I'll just be like a background noise. So I'll have to go back, but it does help me, like, because if I listen to it by myself and not driving or doing something else, I'll go crazy. Like Michael, I'll be looking up, well, below my phone, like Twitter, what are you doing? And I'm listening and it's just like going out one ear and, you know, out in and out the other. So yeah.
Yep. No, I was listening to it a lot when I was working at the theater doing the vacuuming stuff. And then I would get that same thing where I'm like, Oh, I started thinking about something else. Gotta go back two chapters. How the heck did three? Wow, I didn't think I was zoned out that long.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Exactly.
That's what makes the not having the character list at the beginning of the book so frustrating for me. Because, like, when I come back to a book after going somewhere and not having a chance to read it, I'm like, okay, now who was that side character? Like, the main four, like, I remember them. But everyone else, I'm like, who was that? And then I got to try to find the chapter where they were introduced to find out again. I'm like, can I just have the quick, like, oh, yeah, it was the lady that was 55. She's from Corellia. Okay, yeah, I remember her now. No. Well, I think, Michael, I think we're about there, don't you, man?
Sounds good to me, buddy.
All right. Well, Paul, why don't you toss out your contact information here for everybody listening, and we'll rock you and roll you from there.
All right. Well, thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Herman22 with two N's, a.k.a. P-Thug, as Riley had kind of mentioned earlier. So you can also find me on a number of different podcasts. You can find me on Marvel Newscast. That's where I talk about mostly Marvel stuff. We have a great Patreon there as well, where we're going through – we just went through a bunch of Ant-Man comic books, which is great. And we're going to do Infinity Gauntlet. I'm actually going I'm doing extra credit. I'm reading all the Silver Surfer tie-ins that came around at that time. So, because I've always wanted to, and I was like, what the hell? So I'm checking that out. So I'll hear us on there. I'm also on a couple different Star Wars podcasts, Blaster Cannon. Find us via Den of Geek. We're with Megan and Saf. And also find me on the Saga Continues podcast with my buddies Tim and Kyle. Great dudes. Love those guys. Yeah, check me out on there.
Nice. Excellent. Michael, go ahead and let everyone know where they can find your little home away from home at the Second Airborne.
So that is over at Cloud City Casino, where we just talk about some gaming news. And then, of course, I have my own personal Twitter and Instagram, where you can see like that Luke Skywalker I was talking about earlier. And that's just Morris Isley.
Nice. Fine establishment, too. And in fact, I co-host with your co-host on Beyond the Films over there at the Second Airborne Division of Podcasts at StarWarsReport.com, as well as this show here. You can find me at Illogical Rogue 2 on pretty much every platform out there. Although, if you're playing video games with me, it's probably my son. He's hijacked my account.
I was wondering. I was like, oh, we were playing the other day, and Mark is, I mean, he was just killing everybody. But now I know.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not that good. No, he's a little Hawkeye, man. And you can email us at StarWarsReport@gmail.com. You can check us out at Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport, and, of course, leave us an iTunes review. Got us there at Star Wars Report iTunes. Again, thanks to all our patrons out there. Bruce, we appreciate everything you've been doing. Michael, all your hard work is appreciated as well. Paul, again, thanks for coming out there. And remember, everybody, many Bothans died to bring you this episode. But don't worry, we've been cloning them as fast as we can. I know Michael's been worried.
I just wonder. I mean, we're going to run out at some point.
Well, what I'm worried about is that we're going to get a new canon thing, and we're going to be realizing we've been cloning some other species all this time.
It's okay if they're Legends Bothans. I mean, then,
I guess that's true.
Then we have a whole other continuity of Bothans to run through. That gives us more time.
And then no one will care. They're like, it's just Legends Bothans. That's really
right. We don't have the... wow. Like the fair treatment of Bothan people after is quite as hard. Ethical treatment of
Bothans.
They're
illegal Bothans!
Illegal.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks for riding Star Tours. Bye-bye.